bondage can last over several hundreds of lifetimes. Because that karma of earning money, and that to earning money from whatever four sources these days. Now, which employer today is a saint who is giving you your monthly check? Every CEO there, up there, or every GM there, or every whoever is sitting up in the chair of chairman is, from Prabhupada's language, a demon. Today you are hearing Prabhupada said 99.9% of the population is demoniac. Now we cannot study statistics to the outside world, because then we will get juta. But we can speak it when we are amongst ourselves, because you know, nobody will beat us for that. This Prabhupada's understanding is demoniac. So when we earn our money, we are earning money from demoniac sources, from demoniac people who are out to exploit, destroy, and rape material nature. Right? So those are the type of resources from which this money is generated. So just like in when you kill a goat or a cow, then there are seven people who are connected to the sinful activity, not only the person who eats it. Similarly, when you earn our money, it's not that then there are several people who are implicated. It's, I didn't exploit material nature. I'm a devotee. But since you have taken the money from the person who is involved in generating that money, you are part of that chain. So we also are karmically bound. We are also karmically bound. And therefore, the only way Vedas, the scriptures prescribe to get free from this immense bondage, but not a bondage when people were pious and they're getting money from pious sources, pious professions. Now whatever IT money you earn and whatever research you do, that money comes from where? It's exploiting. It's very serious. So that can only be purified by giving acts of charity. So therefore, when people have this understanding, then people who come for charity, they'll be happy to give. Generally, we are not happy to give charity, right? They said, "Baad mein aana." Come tomorrow. Sorry, I'm busy. Right? So when somebody asks for charity, usually first answer is no, or come later. Or somebody asks for this amount, you give a small amount. Said it. But when you understand the value of the importance of charity, then in fact you want to give even more than what is asked. They were saying that even when they go to buy sabji from the mandai, right? I think this example is floating around. That a few years back, a few decades back, we say a kilo shengdana dev, whatever, something, chauli dev. So you buy those, that vegetable, and he will give you 1 kilo from the scale, and he'll put a few more in the end. Thoda sa, few 5-6 fanasi all dal dega, 2-3 mirchi aur dal dega, little bit, you know. Or you go to buy milk. I remember when I used to go buy milk as a boy, small boy, to the dairy. He would give 2 liters of from a can, and then he put a small little toily he had. I don't know how much, maybe 1 ounce, 2 ounces of milk was there. Just put a little bit of that also. So this has been something which has been there. Now of course, the scale is to be seen, whether the scale is really worth kilo, or is it getting 980 grams or whatever. Is it. So they try to, you know, put a big heavy plate there on the scale, so that plate itself has got some vajan, and then you put it. So then the point was that if you are paying me for a kilo of something, or two liters of milk, then I don't want to get bound by this transaction. I want to be free from this transaction because I have given you something. You take something more, so that I am free from this bondage here. I don't want this stuff. So I am free from this bondage. You take a little extra and you are happy and I am free. Right? So this was the type of mood even in the ordinary laukik activities. What to talk of charity to sages and this, and going to tirathas and giving daan to the brahmanas. You know, this is a very high thing. But this is just normal routine. Not even devotees, just normal karmis interacting. This understanding was there in our country just few decades back. So because every activity a person understands has got karma, these days the knowledge of karma has vanished. What karma? No karma. There's no God, there's no laws, there's no karma. People wear t-shirts these days, no laws. So you know this man's consciousness is like completely, he's a lawless person, no laws. People don't get bound to any of these things. Laws are there, karma, right? The Vasudeva himself, so high, is asking, how do I get free from bondage? So give charity. Give charity. Of course, charity can be given in so many ways. Therefore, for householders, it was very important and still important to invite devotees to the house and give them charity. In the next verse, which comes up here, he says there are three types of debts which is given, which is attached to a Brahman. So when you are born, a Brahman is born, he is born with three debts. We may argue, said, oh, that doesn't apply to me then. I was not born a Brahman. It's only for those. I was born a Shudra. So it's not for me. But we are supposed to live a Brahmanical life. Prabhupada said we used to be a Brahmanical life. So it applies to us also as practicing devotees. But it's interesting to see that when you are born, the physical body is born, but along with the birth is the birth of debts. Now that's a nice thing to meditate upon, that you are born with the body and your mind, and of course your soul comes to this world, but you are born with the obligation or the burden or whatever you call it, you are born with debts. Right? You're born with debts. And it is very clear. The Shastra is never going to mince words for us to make it ambiguous. He said, if you do not fulfill these debts, then you will fall down into hellish condition. The prescription is there. If you don't follow the prescription, what will happen to you is also given. You will go to hell. Now that's pretty serious, right? Going to hell is pretty serious affair. No, we may not take it seriously, but it's hell is there and people are there in hell also. So imagine from that context, how much is Kali Yuga overflooding hell? How many people are really going to hell in Kali Yuga? Because who is even aware of this concept of debt resolve? Now the only debt which a man in the world lives for is ICICI Lombard. Bajaj Alliance. He's taken a loan for his flat or for his car. In America, in European countries, in India, even more now coming in, everything is mortgaged. Everything is just taken. You take everything on loan, right? Even a fridge. You can even take a mobile on loan these days. You can take anything on. You can buy anything and not pay for it right now, right? You pay on loan. Keep it with you. Enjoy it. Give us later. Aram se. So. Actually, the perversion is this, that your whole life goes in giving away the debts which you owe to the the housing company or the mobile company or the fridge company or the two-wheeler company or whatever else you have purchased for yourself. Everything you purchase, your whole life goes in resolving debts. So it's a fact that everyone is, whether he's a spiritualist or a materialist, he is under the burden of debts. The what type of debts you want to incur for yourself is the only choice we have. Right? People go to America and they can never come back to their motherland like India, wherever, because by the time they go to America and stay there, they have already burdened themselves with, several hundred thousands of, worth of dollars or rupees of debt. So, my house is on mortgage and I cannot liquidate all this right now. I don't have money to liquidate that. So, I need to stay here to get money to keep on paying my loans. And that takes, several decades of his life. By the time he's 40, 50, 60 years, and he keeps on paying that money, how can he go back to his motherland where he belongs, where his parents are staying, or where his children are staying, whatever. He cannot come back because he is bound by the loan. Right? But here, it talks about liberating debts to the sages, the demigods, and to the forefathers. Right? So for ourselves, we can see that even the Lord does this. When Sri Advaita Acharya, Now he is Acharya, he is Mahavishnu, correct? Now he has no debts, obviously. He is God. But when they come to this world, they play roles like ordinary human beings. Now he fed several thousands of Brahmanas in Shantipur, right? For the Shraddha he was performing. What is Shraddha? Shraddha is basically liquidating your debt to your forefathers. Right? So one of the items of Shraddha ceremony is to feed Brahmanas. Right? Because it is said, Shraddha ultimately is to please Vishnu, and Brahmanas are mouths of Vishnu, and when Brahmanas eat, Krishna eats, so Vishnu eats through the Brahmanas. There are two mouths to Vishnu. One is the sacred fire, other is the mouth of the Brahmanas. Right? So he gives ahuti into the fire, it goes to Vishnu because fire is Vishnu's mouth, and the Brahmanas also are Vishnu's mouth. Right? You feed the Vaishnavas, in our case we understand Brahman Vaishnavas, we feed them, it actually goes into the belly of Vishnu directly. How wonderful. Right? What a connection. Like the Brahmanas have the hotline to Vishnu. Right? When they are eating, and when they burp, it's like Vishnu is burping. When they bless, it's like Vishnu is blessing. So he wanted to do that, but he wanted to do it in a very powerful manner, in a very exemplary manner, not in a mundane karmakanda manner. Because it can be very karmakandi also. As he said, he go to the higher planets and all that. Right? But the first person he fed was a Muslim. Because like Agra Puja you have and the Ratsuya sacrifice. Who gets the first worship is very important. Several millions have come, but who gets the first puja? Agra means first. Agra Puja. So Krishna was, Agra Puja was done by Yudhishthira Maharaj. So in a Brahman gathering, who gets the first plate? Like in our ISKCON also, you know, who gets the first aarti is reasonably important. Not very important, but reasonably important that, you know, who gets the first this or who gets the first this or like that, right? We have some etiquettes to follow even in who's allowed to go for Tulsi first, you know. You know, just a neophyte devotee cannot come rush to the Tulsi plant and said, you know, everyone goes away and said, you know, the spiritual master comes in, or the exalted devotees come in, or the Brahmanas come in, and the senior president, people come in, the presidents come in, the GBCs come in and said, they go around first, everyone just stands around, sings Hare Krishna, and then after the seniors are over, then rank and file devotees will come and do their thing, right? So at every step there is decorum, there is decor, there is protocols. Even in spiritual life, there are important protocols to follow. Who goes in first for the prasadam? You know, just everyone cannot barge into the prasadam line. Somebody senior, Prabhu, come. No, you don't have to stand in the line. You know, you can come here. So he can break the line and come because he is senior like that. So there is protocols to follow everywhere. Right? So now who is going to eat the first plate of prasad by Advaita Acharya? He is the most renowned, most respected, you know, high class Brahmana of Shantipur. So what he does is like exemplary acts. And he feeds a Muslim. He feeds a Muslim. Born Muslim. Of course, we are not what we are by birth. But he wanted to make a point that in Mahaprabhu's movement, he's Acharya, right? In Mahaprabhu's movement, we are not going to consider class of birth as important. We are going to disregard this as completely unimportant. We'll only go by his present state of devotional surrender to Krishna. That's it. So in our Mahaprabhu's movement, we are absolutely not concerned about somebody's birth. Shudra, Brahmana, Mlecha, and even lower, maybe Chandala or even lower. Prabhupada said there are 10th class. It's not given in the scripture what is 10th class, but Prabhupada said this is 10th class civilization. So now we only know 4 till Shudras, and then it's maybe Chandala and Mlecha is 6th or 7th. Maybe Sastra says even more, I don't know, I've not read so much, but Prabhupada said 10th class. So it's like lowest of the low, right? And yet that 10th class person is eligible for becoming spiritual master. Wow, that's something. 10th class person can become a spiritual master and deliver the whole world. That's the power of bhakti. That's the power of bhakti. What bhakti can change people into in one generation? How powerful is bhakti? Which other process do we know of in the scripture which can really evolve people from that rung of consciousness in a few years of practice to this level of exaltation? There's no other process like that. Bhakti is reigns supreme in the scripture. Right? It reigns supreme in scripture. The example is Adita Acharya, that he wanted to liquidate the debt to his father by first feeding a Muslim born Vaishnava. And when he fed, he said he has already fed, and he may still feed the Brahmanas, but even if he didn't feed the Brahmanas, it was still alright. Because feeding, he himself said, when I feed you, then I am feeding thousands of Brahmanas. Right? So, it is important to just think of this mood of being indebted. How did... Now all of us here as devotees, we are trying to develop a mood of seva, correct? We are trying to understand the glory of being a servant, correct? Jivara Swarup Hove Krishna Tyadas. So we have been asked to remember this, follow this, again and again. However, what would really help, so I mean, in a sense, whatever helps us to create this mood is very, very favorable. Because we can't really reach this mood directly. It's something which is not our nature to be servant. It's not natural to us. It's not something which we have done for several lifetimes. So suddenly we are told, you know, you're a servant, you're not the master. And it doesn't fit into our consciousness, because even in bhakti we want to really behave like a master. So how do we gradually get into that mood? How to... Like you gradually lead the cow into the field, you know, you just push it. You just keep on gradually nudging it, you know, or you guide something. You get a small baby into the place. How can you guide? How do we guide our consciousness into that mood? One thing which probably would help to really create a mood of seva, because ultimately a bhakta is supposed to have a mood. We are talking about Vasudev's mood here. What is the mood of the devotion? The gopis, they are known by their mood. What is the mood? Said, oh, Krishna is having a headache. Narmani comes, Krishna is having a headache. So, yeah, really, Krishna is having a headache. Well, you people have the cure for it. We have the cure for it. What is the cure for it? Tell us. Well, he has asked for the dust of the feet of all of you gopis. Said, really? Is what he wants. And immediately started scraping off their souls and gathering more dust from the Vrindavan and scraping off and putting it in the same scene. All of them. There are so many gopis were there in big gonies of dust. He said, you take this. He said, do you know what you are doing? You're putting your dust of your feet on Krishna's head. That means the sure shot eternal damnation into hell. So yeah, it's all, we know it. You're not telling anything new, Narad Muni. We know about this, that we go to hell. But if it gives Krishna relief from headache for a few seconds, for a few moments, it's worth going to hell. What is this called? The mood. The mood of devotion. Prabhupada. What is his mood? And we said, somebody say he's very moody. Moody means, he's like, yes. You cannot really rely on what will happen. Suddenly he just got angry, suddenly become very soft, suddenly he's a very moody person. But a devotee, he wants to develop a particular constant mood. A mood. The mood is like a baseline background music which goes on in the film. It creates a background mood of the scene. So it just goes on. The scene is going on in front, something is going on, but there's something called as background music, right? Or there are people who are actors, or then there's people who are background actors. You just create the mood, right? So we want to create a mood of devotion in the background of our consciousness. No matter what you're doing in the upfront of our consciousness, the cortical level, cortex is the front part of the brain, right? The conscious level. The cortical level, cortex level, you're doing something. Fighting or writing or seeing or managing, whatever. But if there's a proper mood in the background, it'll be very useful. Right? If the mood which So it appears from the shloka that the mood of being indebted is a beautiful mood to have for a deserving devotee. Because the prerana, the inspiration to serve, will be enhanced to the extent we feel indebted towards something. Right? If you feel indebted towards something you have received, then you want to reciprocate by seva. Correct? When is this mood most prominent in our life? I was thinking about that. When is this mood with something which overwhelms our life? On the day of Vyasa Puja. Is it not? When you go to the day of Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada's disappearance day Vyasa Puja, or appearance day Vyasa Puja, or, you know, or spiritual master Vyasa Puja. Now when disciples come together on that day, now all of us have experienced that mood. It's a mood, right? It's a mood. It's a state of being. It's a state of consciousness. When so many people gather, now we don't have Vyasa Puja or Radhanath Swami for a few years, but we have experienced this mood for several years. What is the mood when everyone comes in? Everyone is just so happy to be with the family of fellow Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis. It's a grateful heart. And you speak glories, you feel grateful, you feel insignificant. Your heart is overflowing with emotions of love and affection for your spiritual master. And your heart is overflowing with the mood of being wanting to become more dedicated to him. Right? And you are just conscious of all the gifts he has given you, all the chakshudan he has given you, which has guided your consciousness to good times and bad times. And all inspiration he has given you of his words and his glorious example which he has set in front of you. When you are so conscious of this reality of the spiritual reality of our life, of what Sri Guru has given us, and how he represents the parampara purely, how he is a link in the chain coming from Krishna, how he is the living God for you, he embodies God in his being, his words are the words of God coming through his being, right? He manifests God's love to you in your life. Now we have all these extraordinary feelings surging into our consciousness. Right? Flowing. And it manifests sometimes as tears of affection for the spiritual master. And when somebody is saying something which he has experienced deeply with the spiritual master, then maybe that person is crying because he just cannot control his emotions. And everyone who's hearing this, everyone in the audience is feeling the same way because the mood is so beautiful. Everyone is just so deeply affected by that mood. It's infectious, it's contagious, that mood of gratitude and love for somebody who is really worthy of love. Not ordinary mundane love, but a love based on true service and gratitude. So that mood of the Vyasa Puja is most special in a disciple's life. Right? Now imagine a sadhaka, as a disciple, who can expand that mood from beyond those few hours to few weeks, days, months, years, and hopefully a lifetime. And that is Prabhupada. That's an acharya. That's a pure devotee of Krishna. That even though his gratitude was experienced with his spiritual master only on 10 actual physical contacts with Saraswati Thakur, right? But the gratitude he felt on the very first day, on 1922, he met him at Ultradanga Junction Road, and he came out of the room. Prabhupada said, "Mahaprabhu's movement is in good hands." Right? That's what his first expression, first exaltation. Right? And what mood Prabhupada carried throughout his life? Yes, he did so many great things, but his mood was, "This is simply something I'm doing to reciprocate the indebtedness of my spiritual master." That was his mood. He did so much. In one sense, he did more than his spiritual master. Historically, sociologically, religious history has it that Bhaktivedanta Swami did more to the world than Saraswati Thakur. But the mood is like, it's like the same thing. He has Krishna as his father, as his son. Right? And yet his mood is, I do not know anything. Please tell me, can you tell me something about life? So he Prabhupada already has done more than his Guru Maharaj, and yet he feels, I have not done enough. Not done enough. Because my Guru Maharaj wanted the whole world to be Krishna conscious. And I cannot feel restful till the whole world is Krishna conscious. Like Hanumanji is feeling, I can't go to the spiritual world with Ram till the last Ram Bhakta is there in this world, because Prahlad Maharaj is thinking, I cannot go to the spiritual world with Narsingadev till somebody is there in this world who needs, you know, my association. I want to be around here. Right? Or even disciples feel, Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. The exalted mood is that you don't even want to go back to Godhead, because you know you want to be here to assist your spiritual master, do whatever he wants you to do. Now that's the Gaudiya idealism. That's Gaudiya idealism, that your disciple doesn't want to go back to Godhead also, because his Guru Maharaj might want him to be here and do something. Right? So that all stems from where? That only stems if you at least nurture in a rudimentary level something, not at high level, but of indebtedness. Right? So even it begins with small things. Like in these days, we usually, somebody gives us something and we absolve or dissolve that obligation by just saying two words. Thank you. It's a two word. Thank you. Somebody gives you a plate of prasadam or gives you anything. Thank you, Prabhu. Listen, of course, that's expression. And that's basic. That's something which is not even devotee. That's even civilized human being. Right? It's just a civilized way of interacting with people. And yet, imagine how many thank yous we have to give in our lives. Right? The ability to see Krishna in the morning with these eyes. The ability to breathe the air given by God. Right? The ability to stand on our own feet and to walk. The ability to eat food and then even more so, digest it. Right? Everything is an act which can elicit in the heart a state of indebtedness and gratitude. Gratitude can only come when there is indebtedness. So the precursor to gratitude is a state of indebtedness. Is a prerequisite to gratitude is indebtedness. If there is no indebtedness, there is no gratitude. If there is no gratitude, there is no growth of consciousness. Right? So, when you talk of indebtedness about the sages and you know, our forefathers, big things, but at basic humanitarian level, gratitude for basic things we have. Right? That creates, as I said, the proper mood. Because devotee is just by how he acts. Like Sanatana Goswami told Haridas Thakur that some people preach well and some people act well. But you preach and act both well. Right? So one is to know in life, that is knowledge, other is to act in that knowledge. Right? So somebody who knows is a preacher. Somebody who acts is a Vaishnava. Right? So, we want to move on from the stage of to know, which is Vasudeva is asking questions, to the stage of to act. To act in the proper mood. So, and therefore, we need to pray for this, that to become genuine servants of the Lord, that we become conscious of all those things to which we are indebted to. Right? And that is the only way we can get rid of the maik influence which makes us feel and take everything for granted. Devotees we take granted. Deities we take granted. Holy name we take granted. Plate of prasadam we take granted. The congregation of devotees we take for granted. our life we take for granted. Right? We take everything for granted. So that's a very that creates mechanistic consciousness. Everything is granted. When everything is granted, everything becomes a ritual. Everything is granted, everything becomes meeting a devotee, greeting him is a ritual. Offering obeisance to him is a ritual. Right? So ritualism stems from mechanistic consciousness. And that mechanistic consciousness stems from taking things for granted. And to counteract that, which is a disease, which Maya will definitely influence devotees into, because that's her job, is to counteract that with the mood of indebtedness. I can dance in the kirtan of the holy name. Wow, that should be a celebration. And if this mood is there, then it becomes a nityotsava. But every time you are celebrating the opportunity to serve Krishna, remember Krishna, it's a celebration. And what Krishna is revealing in your life and through the life situations, is a celebration. And you don't then judge things as good and bad, right and wrong, auspicious and inauspicious, because every opportunity is opportunity to remember Krishna. So then becomes an eternal celebration of the soul. So these are some very wonderful ways we can meditate upon to create a mood of indebtedness. We eat prasadam every day. How many people get to eat prasadam every day? Every day we eating prasadam. Somebody gets prasad once in a way, you know, something will come from Srinathji, something will come from, you know, Udipi, some laddu will come. Now we eat prasad every day, three times a day, maybe even four times a day, maybe even more than that. For last several years, prasadam. Prasadam is Krishna's mercy. When we be eating that for decades now. Right? How much gratitude. We are going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam, all the books, the achar. How much is there in our life? How rich is the life of a devotee? How rich he is. Even if he's a brahmachari who has just a locker or a householder who has just one BHK flat, every devotee is a rich person. If he actually were to count his richness in terms of the gifts he has received from Krishna, and he can only feel the richness if he feels a sense of indebtedness and gratitude. If he don't, he can be the richest man in the world and still not feel anything about it. He'll not rejoice it. He won't enjoy it. He won't share it. He will not do that. The moment we feel enriched, I have something so special, let me share it. Right? So, we have so much to be happy about in life. Therefore, it said that the best preacher in the world is who? Not somebody who has 100,000 slokas who can recite like the flowing Ganga. He can impress. Definitely will impress people. But the happiest, the greatest preacher is supposed to be a happy devotee. Right? And therefore, we have so much reason to be happy. There should not be any sad moment, no blues for devotees. No depression. No cynical behavior, no skepticism, no room for all that stuff which the world is plagued with. Cynicism, skepticism, negativity, you know, pessimism. It's all around the place. But devotee's life is full of hope, full of joy. He is the happiest person in the world. There's no question about it. Because he has Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure is with him. Right? Who can be more happier than a devotee in this world? Nobody. They don't have a right to become happy till they have Krishna. So Prabhupada and the Guru has given us access to that person who is the reservoir of all joy, bliss, happiness. And we have him. In abundance we have Krishna. And we need to open the doors with the key of our own consciousness. And allow this mood to percolate. Open the doors of the consciousness and allow this mood to enter. This mood is valuable. And that mood exudes into whatever we do. By washing a plate of backup service, or cleaning the temple, or, you know, doing your profession, or raising a child, or doing your studies, earning money, or even dying of cancer. Whatever is happening in our life at any point of time, we will always be happy. Because if we realize we have Krishna, we have Shyama Sundar, we have Gopinath, the most beautiful person, the most loving person, the most kind person, the wealthiest person, he is with us. Right. So let's learn from Vasudev this mood. Let's learn from Adhidhacharya this mood. This mood is all that we can really nurture in our life. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.